That's the way I like to start off the show. With a bang! Kind of in your face, man.
Wake up! It's time for Knock on Wood!
Well, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee.
This is Steve Chorney, and the name of the program is Knock on Wood. Harry's here.
Yes, Steve, I'm here.
So what's up, man?
What's up? Did you hear about the robbery at the competing station yesterday?
No. What happened?
The station was robbed, man. It's horrible. They can't do any shows anymore. All their amplifiers, microphones, everything kaput.
That's horrible.
Right! But it's not going to happen here, I can tell you that.
How do you know?
Because I have a foolproof plan to foil any thief who comes in here.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Disguise the equipment. Look what I got here, Steve.
What are those things in that box? They look disgusting.
They're mustaches. Here, paste this mustache on the CD player like so. Ta-da! Okay, now anyone would be fooled. I have over 50 mustaches, Steve. I'm going to paste them on everything in here of any value to disguise the equipment. The MP3 player, the engineering boards, even on the pencils here. I'll put this beard on this pencil.
Beards too, huh? Look, some thief comes in here, sees that thin, long pencil with a beard on it. What is he going to think?
That it's not a pencil, it's Abraham Lincoln.
You know, I thought when you decided to have special programming for the dogs and cats who listen to the show, you had reached the pinnacle of your nuttiness. But I was wrong, Harry. The day you married your dresser and had a little cradle for a son? Well, that's when I thought you'd outdone yourself at that point. But lo and behold, you came in as Swabi Baba Ganoush and had several disciples worshipping you. That, I thought, was the pinnacle of craziness. But you didn't stop there. No, after that, you became a lawyer for Mother Goose characters who had been wronged. You put a saddle on my knee and rode me like a horse. You brought in a giant banana. You wanted me to drill an extra belly button in your wooden stomach. And every time I thought, okay, this is the nuttiest, stupidest, wildest thing you've ever done. Remember when you didn't want to be called a dummy anymore, but a wooden American? Remember the time your hands fell in love with each other and I had to perform a marriage ceremony for them? Or how about the humongous marshmallow you brought in? Or the time you tried to hammer in a nail with Jell-O? Each time I thought, yes, this is the final height, the ultimate in bizarre behavior. But I was wrong. I see that now. For this one, without a doubt, is the apex, the summit, the acme of deranged insanity. You have taken the cake. You have broken the envelope. You have created a new paradigm in madness. You're over the top on this one, man. You have blown your gasket.
You think so, huh?
Do you really think that a thief is not going to recognize a microphone because there's a mustache on it?
Yes, I do!
Case closed.
Now, are you with me or against me?
I'm Switzerland on this. I'm neutral.
Okay, I'll start pasting some of these mustaches on the equipment. You'll play a recording while I do so, and when we come back, you'll see how effective these disguises can be.
You're right. I'll just push play on the CD player and...
Hey! Where's the CD player?
Aha! It's already working! It's being cleverly disguised by this handlebar mustache.
Everybody has a belly button. Now I've got one, I know that you do too. But whether yours goes out or in, I'm having trouble with one thing. What in the world do belly buttons do?
Now perhaps the belly button is the doorbell of a friend. And if you pushed it, then a voice from deep inside would say, "Come in!" Or if you are a patient and an enterprising fellow,
you can use your belly button lint to make yourself a pillow.
Everybody has a belly button.
I'd love to see your belly button.
I've got one, I know that you do too.
Oh, it's so cute!
But whether yours goes out or in, I'm having trouble with one thing.
What in the world do belly buttons do?
Perhaps the belly button is the button to your belly. And without your belly button, then your belly would be chilly. Woo!
Perhaps it's just the end of one long screw that keeps things taut. And if you loosened it with a screwdriver, your tushy would fall off.
Everybody has a belly button. Now I've got one, I know that you do too. But whether yours goes out or in, I'm having trouble with one thing.
What in the world do belly buttons do?
Belly button is the place to hide a dime, or a marble, or a milk dud, or a teeny tiny sign. Perhaps the belly button is the end of a balloon, and if you popped it, you go flying backwards all around the room. Everybody has a belly button. Last chance to show me a belly button. I've got one. I know that you do too. Oh, it's so cute. But whether yours goes out or in, I'm having trouble with one thing. What in the world do belly buttons do?
Ooh, thank you. There was a robbery, so Harry's afraid the culprit is going to end up here. So in order to foil the crook's plans, Harry has brought in 50 mustaches or so and beards and is placing them in all the equipment. This way anyone up to no good will not recognize the expensive machines that we have housed here. Am I right so far?
That's right, Steve.
And I pointed out earlier that this has to be the final example of berserk behavior on his part. It's far crazier than the time you became a therapist for bugs.
I saved that praying mantis's life. He had stopped believing in God and was suicidal. I gave him faith.
Okay. So maybe that was nuttier. But this is pretty nutty. You got to admit.
Look, let's say you're a thief. You walk into this room. You look around. Wouldn't you think you stumbled into a Mark Twain impersonators convention?
There are Mark Twain impersonators?
Why not? They have Elvis impersonators, Marilyn Monroe impersonators. Why not Mark Twain impersonators?
Except that Mark Twain wasn't bald the way all these machines are. You haven't put any wigs on them.
Okay. Bald Mark Twain impersonators.
And if you were a thief, that's exactly what you would think. Then you'd pull out a gun, make everyone stick up their hands, and rob them of their jewelry.
Only these machines don't have hands to put up.
Do you hear yourself? Do you? Do you hear yourself?
What other options are there? We have to protect the equipment from thieves.
How about putting a lock on the door?
I hadn't thought of that.
Can I play a recording, please?
Be my guest.
Thank you very...
Where's my computer?
It's right here. No, that's the, wait, let me look under the mustache. No, that's the chair. It must be, here, I'll take a peek. No, that's a lamp under that mustache. All right, how about here? Yeah, I found it. See, these mustaches are pretty effective.
It's like Superman. He changes his clothes, puts on a pair of glasses, and suddenly no one recognizes him anymore.
Exactly.
The only way that could happen is in a comic book, in a fictional situation.
Exactly. Isn't this a fictional situation?
No. I exist.
But I don't! Ha! Got you there!
Can't tell you how stupid this whole room looks with 50 mustaches taped on everything.
And a few beards.
Hey, where'd you go? Where'd you just say that?
Right here, Steve. I'm waving.
Take that mustache off. I didn't recognize you.
This mustache business is pretty effective, huh? I think you should wear a mustache, too. You know, just to be on the safe side.
Look. I'll tell you something. If this wasn't
a kooky audio podcast,
there is no way in a million years that you could get away with this plot.
Yeah. What are the odds of me coming up with this idea on a program and that program actually allowing me to do it? Think of how many other people have thought of nutty ideas, but, you know, they were doing other shows like news, and the producers looked at them like they were bananas. I bet some news people have come up with ideas like, oh, I don't know, like making this sound at the end of each sentence to let the listener know the sentence was over. But did it fly? No. Not because it was a bad idea, but because it was a news show and had to keep its decorum.
Going at the end of each sentence?
Yes. Like that. Wherever you see a period in the script, you go instead of pausing. See, that was a period in the script. There was again.
You're getting the script all wet.
Sorry. Hey, isn't that a great idea? But only for a show like this. It wouldn't go over well on, let's say, a podcast like This American Life.
Okay, stop playing.
Okay.
Stop it. Ooh, a visitor. May I help you?
Hands up.
I want all your sound equipment.
Oh my goodness, it's the thief.
But sir, look around. There's no sound equipment here. Just a bunch of balding Mark Twain impersonators.
But
you're doing an audio podcast here. Where's your microphone?
We're not recording anything right now.
Then what are you talking into right there in front of your mouth?
I'm not talking into anything. I'm talking to my friend Mark. He just has a big nose, see?
Okay, hands up, everyone. I want all your jewelry. Hey, how come no one is putting up their hands?
I am.
Me too.
Give me your wallet.
I don't have a wallet.
What's that in your pocket?
Here, take a look.
I can't tell what it is. It's got a mustache on it.
It's a photo of my Uncle Mark.
All right, what about you? Give me a wallet.
Here.
Aha! Finally something to rob. Don't call the police if you know it's good for you.
If I knew what was good for me, do you think I'd be doing this dopey program?
I'll go shut the door, Steve.
Man, we were robbed and everything.
See, Steve? If you had put a mustache on your wallet the way I did, he never would have stolen it.
It's okay, Hal. There was no money in it anyway. There never is. Remember?
This is just a stupid audio podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Can you take the mustaches off the equipment now so I can find the tape machine?
I kind of like them on. It gives the studio a sense of community. But I am taking this one, Steve.
Why?
I need new handlebars for my bicycle, and this handlebar mustache will fit on them perfectly. Besides, then no one will steal it. It'll look like my Uncle Mark Twain is giving me a piggyback ride.
Oh, man.
Your face is a beauty to behold. Your skin is the color of pure gold. Your cheeks are as red as a rose. But what's with a wart on your nose? Your eyes are deep pools of blue. Your hair smells as fresh as the dew. My love for you each day it grows. But did you know there's a wart on your nose? It's right there, right there. There's a wart on your nose. There's a hair on the wart. There's some gunk on the hair of a very strange sort. You say it's a pimple, but pimples are small. And this one's as large as a big ping pong ball. Your lips are as red as a cherry. Your ear is as cute as a berry. When you smile, your entire face glows, especially that wart on your nose. There's a wart on your nose. There's a hair on the wart. There's some gunk on the hair of a very strange sort. You say it's a dimple, but dimples are cute. And this one is more like a giant grapefruit. Your lashes flutter like birds. Your beauty's beyond any words. Your face is the shape of a heart. But man, that's a mighty big wart.
Knock on Wood is produced, written, and performed by me, Steve Charney. And today's sketch was also written with Kelly Kenyon. And if you'd like to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/Steve Charney and become a patron for only $1 a month. I'll be putting up a show a week. That's a quarter a show, man. Can't beat that. You can also visit my website, stevecharney.com, for CDs and books for sale, info on my live performances, and more information about me than you'll ever need or want. And thanks for listening. Harry, any last words to say?
Yeah, support Steve on patreon.com/Steve Charney. That's PATRE-ON, and Charney is CHARNEY. And you'll be supporting a serious artist doing serious work who's in serious trouble.